song with us. And you just go ahead and worship God with them and let God have his way in the house. Praise God. Praise God. Touch your neighbor and say, if you feel a bump, jump. If the Holy Ghost moves on you, you say yes. You respond to God. Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
We love you. We're so glad you're in the house with us today. Praise God.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Can somebody put those hands together for Jesus?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. This first song says, there's one God, one name, and one worthy of our praise. Look at your neighbor and say, one God. Say, one name. One worthy of our praise. Amen. We have a track back here. Simon, can you get the sound for the track real quick? There it is. Come on, put those hands together for us, y'all. Thank you. you glory.
Join
here.
It's your-
Wherever you are, come on, son.
Wherever you are, whatever you touch is anointed.
You are.
You are a faith. The best things of Abraham. Best things of Abraham.
Get your inheritance.
Get your inheritance.
Wherever you are.
Wherever you are, we're there.
Whatever you touch.
Whatever you touch is anointed to fall. You are a faith. The blessings of Abraham. The blessings of Abraham.
Lift your hands and say, it's yours.
It's yours. It's yours.
Right here this year. Time is your hand. It's your.
It's your inheritance. It's your inheritance.
You are.
You are a faith. Blessing of Abraham. Blessing of Abraham.
Here we go.
Get your inheritance.
together for Jesus right now. Hallelujah.
Praise God. If you're glad for a biblical inheritance, let's give God praise and glory and honor. Lift him up and magnify him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the name above every name. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the promise of your word. Praise God. Praise God. And as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the scripture, to the promise. Somebody say praise the Lord. Thank God. We appreciate the Ellis family laboring diligently in Clarksville, Tennessee for these many years, interrupted by trips to Desert Storm and to other destinations under the call of his service to his country, and staying with it, and a faithful wife and Sister Ellis, and these fine children that have grown up to be wonderful young adults. And I want to thank them for coming and taking time with us. But what a wonderful work they're doing. The Ellises are people builders. They're building a work for God, and the work of God is sometimes defined as buildings and properties, but it's essentially the people, because you are lively stones built together to frame a habitation for God. And the Ellises are people builders, and there's a wonderful atmosphere in their church, a wonderful sense of unity and anointing there. And I love it when we have been blessed to be a part of their worship services. After church, these guys stay on the platform and just sing for another hour and play and sing. And it's because they love this. This is their life. How about you? Is living for God in the kingdom of God, is at the core of your life? Isn't it great? Isn't it wonderful? And I appreciate them so much being with us. Haven't they done a wonderful job in the services? Aren't they a blessing to you? Praise God. And Brother Gary Ellis is one of the finest teachers in the apostolic movement, and it's been our privilege to have him in this pulpit and also at our Alabama licensing seminars. And he's been used in this district in a wonderful way, and we appreciate him being here on a Sunday, which is very precious to him. And I want him to come and just tell us whatever God has spoken to his heart. Would you just say, "Preach to me, Brother Ellis"? Praise God. Extend your hand and pray for him as he comes this morning. Praise God.
Clap your hands into the Lord one more time and praise his wonderful name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes. Come on, let's just adore the Lord for just a few moments. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, isn't God wonderful? You clap your hands one more time to the Lord. Amen. Give the Lord praise today. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Isn't God wonderful? I enjoy what I'm feeling here this weekend. My, what a service last night, and how God did move. I'm delighted to be here in Birmingham with my good friend Pastor Sutton and his lovely family and this wonderful church family. I don't know very many places we go to preach and sing that we feel as at home as we do when we come to Birmingham. Thank you so much for allowing us to be here. I'm going to attempt to get this message out of the way very quickly. But I want to share my heart with you. I want to be able to teach and minister in a way that I can talk to you like we've all been through something. I don't know. I wasn't raised in church, and I didn't have a church background. And your pastor probably has a similar testimony. And for people like me and like him and some of you, truth is not something that you take for granted. You realize how precious God is to you and how much you really need him and how desperately you really need him. I don't know about many people, but I need God to keep a handle on me. I don't trust me enough to not have God in my life. I know from where I've been, I'm capable, because of my sinful human nature, I'm capable of things I don't want to even think about being able to do. The flesh is just so dangerous to play with. I need God in my life every single day. Do I have a witness here? Tell somebody I need God. Stand with me, and we'll go to the book of 1 Corinthians. And thank God for Brother Tony and his family for the wonderful hospitality. You all are some great people. I'm telling you all some great people, but y'all will kill a man the way you feed him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So much good food around here. Just, it's a shame. It's a shame I let myself get to where I just can't eat all of it that you presented to me and not hurt myself. So I'm gonna bypass all that today. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 11. Is anybody here ready for God to move in your life to make a change? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 11. And the word of the Lord says, all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. The Bible says there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. See, everybody goes through it. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with, somebody say with, the temptation also make a way, say make a way, to escape. And I want to preach this morning for a short time. There is a way out. Tell somebody, there is a way out. Tell two more people, there is a way out. Put your Bibles down. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Thank him for his word. Let's worship him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, praise him. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Feed us, change us, cleanse us by the washing of the water of the word. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. There is a way out. Many people who approach God, church, religion, come to this experience in a world of make-believe. They come in a world to this with a mind of make-believe, shall I say. They come thinking in terms of fantasies as it relates to Christianity. That once they approach God, that all difficulties vanish. that all temptations vanish. And somehow they fail to face certain realities. And I will say there are some realities that we have to face. But let me begin this by saying that God loves you. And it's not the will of God that any would perish. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3 and 9 that God is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. It's not God's desire that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance because God loves you. The Bible says, a scripture that many of you have known since you were children, God so loved the world. He loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But the reality that I'm asking you to face this morning is this reality, that despite God's love and God's provision and God's efforts and God's sacrifice to save man, some, even in this room, will indeed perish. Not that it's the will of God, but some will perish, which means that there are some who will not spend eternity in heaven with our Lord. In fact, they will perish in the flames of hell forever. But it's not because God doesn't love them. It's not because God hasn't made a way for them to spend eternity in glory with him. It's because they chose not to repent of their sins. Now, you don't have to be a vile, wicked, immoral person to be a sinner. For the Bible declares all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You don't have to be somebody in the gutter. You don't have to be involved and entangled in pornography. You don't have to be one who's filled with violence and every vice of society to be a sinner. You just simply have to be human. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So some will perish in their sin because they chose not to repent of their sin. Even though they may attend church regularly, even though some may teach a Sunday school class, there might be some who give their finances, some who feed the hungry and clothe the naked. There'll be some who help the elderly and give exciting testimonies. There's some who dress properly and modestly, and some who harbor no ill feelings. But unless they repent of their sins, they shall all likewise perish. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And they shall say in that day, Lord, we have cast out devils in thy name. We have prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And he will say to them, I never knew you. Not that you haven't done good things, but I never knew you, because sin separates men from God. And no matter how many good works we do to try to bridge the gap, only the blood and only the cross, only Jesus can bridge the gap. In today's world, even the mention of sin, even in church, is frowned upon. But it doesn't change the fact that sin is real. And it doesn't change the fact that it will cause all men to perish who do not repent of their sins. The Word of God says in Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in chapter 6, he says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But I like reading from some other translations because they kind of help our understanding when we see it in words. In Romans 6:23 in the Message Bible, it says, work hard for sin your whole life and your pension is death. But God's gift is real life, eternal life delivered by Jesus, our master. He says, work hard for sin your whole life, and your pension is death. He looks at sin as a labor, and you know something? You have to work hard to stay in sin. You have to use a lot of creativity and energy and ingenuity to use all of the excuses that people use today to stay away from somebody who loves them as much as God loves them. You have to use a lot of mind power to stay away from the God who loves you the way Jesus loves you. Think about all the creative activity that goes into a mind to make up the excuses to stay away from God. Oh, yeah, you know, there's just so many hypocrites in the church. Like they're not hypocrites on the football field. Like they're not hypocrites in the school system. Oh, you're not hearing me now. Oh, you got school teachers that's trying to molest your babies, but they go to school. You got football players on drugs and everything else, but you still go to the game. And you got movie stars that ain't nowhere near what they pretend to be on the TV, but you still got your TV and you still got your video and you still got your game. Listen, it takes a whole lot of energy to stay away from a God who died for you and a God who brought your life with his blood. It takes a whole lot of strength to stay away from a God who loves you like Jesus loves you. You got to do a lot of creativity to make up some of the things. It takes work to stay away from sin, to stay away from God. But all of the work you put in for sin your whole life, at the end of the day, the payment is death. Make no mistake about it. Satan is an expert at deception. He knows his business, and he knows it well. He knows his ability to deceive. He knows his power to torment. He knows his effectiveness to entice. He knows exactly what he's doing. And he uses all manners and methods of devices in order to distract us and in order to attract us. He knows. And that's why you cannot play around with temptation. You cannot flirt with sin at all. You got to get out of it right now. You got to get away from it right now. You got to escape it right now. Sin is an expert con artist. If you don't know how to defeat temptation, if you don't know how to escape the devil and sin, if you don't know how, it will cause you to believe what you should not believe. You'll find yourself doing what you should not do, going where you should not go, thinking what you should not think, acting like you should not act, and living like you should not live. Whatever you do, if you don't do nothing else in your life today, make up your mind, I'm getting out. I'm not going to stay in this anymore. I'm getting out. I'm going to break out of sin. I'm going to break out of temptation. I'm going to break out of this bondage. You've got to get away from sin. Sin will cause you, will con you into being what you should not be, saying and doing what you should not say, and believing what you should not believe. You know what? Sin can make you believe what you never thought you would believe. There are people who said to themselves, I would never do that. I would never go there. I would never act like that. But when sin gets into your veins, it's like a poisonous drug that cause you to hallucinate, make you see things that's not even there, make you feel things you should not even feel. Oh, you're not hearing me now. You think you got power you don't have. You better get away. Sin is too dangerous to flirt with. It can take beautiful memories and twist them into haunting nightmares. It can take a tongue that's filled with praise and worship and song and degrade it into a vicious, poisonous weapon. Sin can take a marriage that's filled with love and understanding and defile it with unfaithfulness and jealousy and selfishness. You've got to get away from temptation. It can take a beautiful life and fill it with shame and sorrow and remorse. You got to get away from sin. It can take good friends and make them enemies. It can take reasonable adults and turn them into rebels. It can take beautiful children and make them monsters. Oh, yeah. You've got to get away from sin. It can replace weeping. You can replace singing with weeping. It can replace love with hatred and joy with sorrow. And it can turn fellowship into loneliness. No pain can afflict the body like sin can afflict the soul. No person can face any greater suffering than what is caused by sin. No person suffers more heartache than a person who delves into and tampers with sin. You need to fear hell, but not near as much as you need to fear sin. Hell is sure. And hell is forever, but hell is the future. Sin will destroy you now. Sin will mess up your family today. Sin will corrupt your nature now. Sin will tear your life apart today. If you fear anything, fear sin. Get as far away from sin as you can get and stay away. But if I'm talking to real people today, I'm sure you'll confess with me. There are times, now I know some of y'all might be too saved to be tempted. Too holy to have ever thought things you should not thought or felt things you should not feel. But I'm talking to those of us who are not ready to be raptured yet. I'm talking to those who won't disappear before the end of this service. I'm not talking to the Enochs. I'm talking to people like you and me who got to keep living this thing one step at a time. Who got to keep loving God one minute after the next. Put one foot in front of the other and thank God it was a holy step. That my steps are ordered by the Lord. I'm talking to people like that. There are times when it seems like you're going through something spiritual. Some dark moment in your life, some temptation, some pressure, some overwhelming power that seems too powerful to bear. And I've heard people say, I just can't help myself. It's gone too far now. I'm in it too deep. And I just might as well go all the way out. That's a lie from the devil. Because the Bible declares that there's no temptation that you can go through, that God will ever allow you to go through anything that you could not bear. He has promised you, you will never be tempted more above that you are able to bear. He said you can make it and you can make it. He promised that he would never allow anything to come on you where he didn't already put the power in you to stand up against it. Tell somebody you can make it, you can make it. But now I got to be real with you now. God's not going to do all of it by himself. You got to do your part. Now there is a way out. But you got to want the way out. You got to be able to fight back. You got to make up your mind. You just can't give up. And you just can't give in. Because God has given you a way out. Tell your neighbor you got to get out. But there's something I got to bring to your attention first, though. Two things. Number one, everybody is tempted. Somebody say everybody. 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Bible says in the New Living Translation, temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. Let me tell you this. I don't know why, but some of us feel like we are the only ones. But just point at your neighbor and say, neighbor, forgive me for acting like I am the only one. You are not the only one that's been under pressure. You are not the only one that's had to deal with disappointment. You're not the only one that's been mistreated. You're not the only one that's been deceived. You're not the only one that's been betrayed. You're not the only one that's fallen on your face. You're not the only one that dealt in darkness. You are not the only one. But God is faithful. And he will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. I preached a message a while back, said, because God believes in me. He will never allow you to go through anything that he doesn't already know that you have the power to deal with. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, God believes in me. I'm going through what I'm going through because God already knows that I can take it. He already knows that I can make it through what I'm going through. He already knows I've got the power to. Oh. But when you are tempted, he will show you. Somebody says show you. He will show you a way out. So that you can endure. He'll show you to the door, but it won't drag you through it. He'll show you the escape route, but it won't pick you up and pack you. But when the Bible says he shows you, the next scripture says run from anything that stimulates your youthful lust. Tell your neighbor, run. Now don't just look back, keep looking. You better take off, run at. He says, run. Run from anything. 2 Timothy 2:22. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Are you hearing me now? Just because you got the Holy Ghost don't mean you ain't got flesh. Oh, y'all not hearing me now. Just because you've been baptized in Jesus' name don't mean you don't have flesh to deal with. Oh, you ain't so saved that the devil can't get on your back. You ain't so saved he can't trip you up. And when Sister Look Too Good comes into the room and she got that wanton look in her eyes, who cares if she feels rejected? Who feels, oh, y'all don't hear me? You better take off running. Give your neighbor a high five. Say, get out, get out, get out, get out, get out, get out. While you've got a chance, get out. He said, instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace, and enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. He said, instead of hanging around and getting yourself tripped up, go find yourself some good fellowship. If you want to be able to overcome the devil, you got to stay in the church. You can't make it by yourself unless you are around praying people, fasting people, word people. Somebody say amen. Let me quickly outline some things you've got to do to escape temptation. The first thing you have got to do is you've got to refocus your attention on something else. It may surprise you, but the Bible doesn't say anywhere to resist temptation. The Bible says to resist the devil, because temptation is a work that goes on in the mind. It works on the thoughts. And resisting thoughts don't work. In fact, the more you try to resist thoughts, the more you only intensify your focus on those wrong thoughts and strengthens the allure to those thoughts. Let me explain what I mean. See, every time you try to block a thought out of your mind, you drive it deeper into your memory. By resisting it, what you actually do is reinforce it. This is especially true with temptation. You don't defeat temptation by fighting the feeling. Because the more you fight the feeling, the more the feeling consumes you. Are you hearing me now? You only strengthen it every time you think about it. And since temptation begins with a thought, the most powerful way to neutralize its effect and the most powerful way to neutralize its allure is to turn your attention to something else. You don't fight the thought, you change the channel. You got to get your mind on something else because the battle is won and lost in the mind. Whatever gets your attention gets you. Y'all know, whatever gets your attention gets you. That's why Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Job knew what the power of the eye could do to the mind and the soul because the Bible said the eye is the window to the soul. And Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes. I know from sitting down surfing on the computer that if I see the wrong kind of address pop up, I know that mouse can become a rat. Y'all not hearing me now. So I changed the channel of my mind. I got to get my mind on something else. Job said that I made a covenant with my eyes. Me and my eyes made an agreement. And if I'm walking down the street, ain't nobody else got to be guilty but me. Y'all not hearing me now. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes that I would not look upon any woman with lust. Now there's some that don't leave anything to the imagination. They ain't got enough known. Now one translation says, I made a covenant with my eyes that I will not undress a young woman with my eyes. And he said, now, I know there's some that don't leave you no room to have to do that. But if you're walking down the street and you're strolling and Sister Mo Cleavage come along and you're looking and you, y'all not hear me now, and you can choose to look. And your mind is racing. And you've broken the covenant. So when you see her coming down the other side, she might be looking good. All her lips, hips, and fingertips is everything you thought you might want. But you look at her, you say, oh no, I see a Cadillac with some 20s. You got to make up your mind to get you. Tell your neighbor, get your mind on something else. I have made up in my mind, I don't care how good he looks. I don't care how good she looks. I don't care what the world says is worth. I want to be saved. I want to make it when God comes. I want to make it. You got to get your attention on something else. Psalms 119 and 34 in the English version says, explain your law to me and I will obey it. I will keep it with all my heart. Keep me obedient to your commandments because in them I find happiness. Somebody say his commandments. Keep me obedient to your commandments because in them I find happiness. There are some who treat the law like it's some sort of imprisoned principle. Some sort of imprisoning set of principles. It binds you. It keeps you from enjoying life. But let me tell you something. There's no such thing as enjoying life in a life of sin. It will lead you to misery. It'll lead you to shame. It'll lead you to just being disgusted with yourself. I want the law of God not because I'm trying to be in prison. I want the law of God because you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. If you ever wanted to be free, you gotta love the word. He said, now give me the desire to obey your laws rather than to get rich. I'd rather obey the law rather than to get rich. I want money, but I don't want money more than I want the law. And if I worked as hard understanding the law as I do working for money, Who knows what I'd be right now? Who knows what God would be doing in my life this very day? Then he says, keep me from paying attention to what is worthless. Keep me from giving my time and my energy and my mind and my intelligence to things that don't matter anyway. What good does it do to get so good at a video game? At the end of the day, what can it do for you? What good does it do to have all the knowledge in the world that doesn't matter when at the end of the day, the greatest thing is fear God and keep his commandment? For this is the whole duty of man. Temptation always begins by capturing your attention. What you get your attention on arouses your emotions. And what arouses your emotions then activates your behavior. And you act on what you feel. So the more you focus on it, the more you focus on, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do this. The more it draws you into its web. You know how some of us, especially around fasting time, I don't want to eat that donut. I don't want to eat that donut. I'm not going to eat that donut. I'm not going to eat that donut. And not only do you eat that donut, by the time you finish promising yourself, the whole box of Krispy Kreme is gone. You know he ain't got the Holy Ghost. You know she don't have the Holy Ghost. You know they're not in the kingdom. You say to yourself, I'm going to leave him alone. I'm going to leave her alone. I'm going to leave him alone. And you know what? The first thing you do after you say that is pick up the phone and send a text message. I've been thinking about you all day. Are you hearing me now? You don't fight the feeling. You change the channel all the way. You got to get your mind on something else and tell your neighbor, that's why you got to get a love for the word of God. You get your mind on the word. Get your mind on worship. Get your mind on fellowship. Somebody say yes. The next thing you've got to do is refocus your relationships. You got to find somebody who is spiritually mature and godly enough to confide in. And somebody that you can pray with. Say pray. Then Ecclesiastes 4:9 in the God's Word translation. It says two people are better than one. Because together they have a good reward for their hard work. If one fails or falls, the other can help his friend get up. But how tragic it is for one who is all alone when he falls, for there's no one to help him get up. You can't make it by yourself. I don't care what the world is saying. You cannot make it by yourself. And there are people who seem to believe that they're strong enough that they don't need any help. I want to ask people the question every time I say, I don't need any help. I can do this all by myself. If you could do it by yourself, why are you such a mess now? Look at your neighbor as a neighbor. I hate to admit it, but I've tried to do it by myself so many times. When I look at myself as opposed to what I should be, I realize I'm all jacked up. If you are losing the battle against a persistent habit, if you're losing the battle against an addiction or a temptation, and it seems that you are stuck in a repeating cycle of well-intentioned failure, you mean well, but you keep failing at meaning well. And I know a lot of people that when they do something wrong and they get confronted about their wrong, the first thing out of their mouth was, but what I was intending to do. Are you hearing me now? My intention was. what I was trying to do. I wasn't trying. You don't have to be trying to sin. It's your nature. You're going to sin whether you want to or not. You're going to do wrong simply by instinct. You can't help yourself. It's flesh. So you need people. Now listen to me now. I got to say this. You've got to find somebody in the church. Somebody who saves, somebody who loves God, somebody who's loyal to leadership, somebody who's in the Word, somebody who you know pray. You got to find somebody you can confide in and somebody you can pray with. And I got to tell you now, it might be different at New Life in Birmingham. But I pastor church with some great people that you just can't tell everybody what you're struggling with. Oh, Lord. You just can't run up to every sister and every brother and tell them what you're struggling with. They ain't gonna pray. They're gonna talk. Look at James chapter 5, verse 13. I'm getting ready to close in just a few minutes. If any of you are having trouble, if you are unhappy, sing psalms. If you are sick, call for the leaders of the church. Have them pray for you. And anoint you with olive oil in the name of the Lord. That's God's word translation. Prayers offered in faith will save those who are sick, and the Lord will cure them. If you have sinned, you will be forgiven. Admit your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you will be healed. Prayers offered by those who have God's approval are effective. Now listen, it says confess your faults or admit your sins to each other. I'm not telling you to stand up in this congregation and say, I just want to admit something to the church. So, Pastor, I've been lusting after sisters. You talking about messing up a church? Messing up good people? You mess up a church with those kind of things. You don't want to do that. You want to find somebody who you can pray with. I've got some stuff on my mind I know that God don't want. And I've got to get out of this. I've got to break free of this. Will you pray with me? Will you hold me accountable? Will you keep me on an altar? Will you make sure that I don't give in to this sin? I need somebody to help me. Do you want to be delivered? Oh, yeah, I want to be delivered. Because hiding it only causes you to harbor it, think on it, intensify it, and finally fall into it. Tell your neighbor, stop pretending. Next, you got to resist the devil. Say, resist the devil. James chapter 4 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Two things here. Submit yourselves unto the Lord and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Let me tell you that it doesn't matter how hard you work. It doesn't matter how sincere you are. It doesn't matter how desperate your attempt may be. It doesn't matter how you weep and cry. If you do not start by submitting yourself to God, the devil will chase you down like a dog, and he will hunt you and hunt you and ultimately destroy you. You've got to begin with giving yourself to God. Whatever God says do, you do. Wherever God says go, you go. Whatever God says you must have, you receive. Somebody says submit yourself. So that's why the first step is always salvation. You did a good thing by being here today. You did a good thing by being in the house of God. But you still need the Holy Ghost if you're going to make it. You still need the power of God in your life if you're going to overcome temptation. Tell your neighbor there is a way out. And the door is Jesus. And finally, you've got to remember this. You've got to remember your own nature. Too many of us start out being overconfident and cocky in our own intelligence and our own self-righteousness. We begin by thinking that we have gotten it all together. But the Bible said if you think you're standing, you better watch yourself lest you fall. Tell your neighbor, don't trust your flesh. So he reminds us first that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? See, the world is lying to you by telling you that you just gotta do what you feel. You gotta do what you feel in your heart. Because if you don't do what you feel in your heart, you're only being a hypocrite. So if you feel it, do it. And if you don't feel it, don't do it. Tell somebody that's a lie from the pit of hell. You don't do what you feel, and you don't avoid what, are you hearing me now? You don't avoid what you don't feel. You got to obey the word. You got to do what God says do. You can't trust yourself. Paul said, being confident of this one, that we worship God in the spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. I don't believe in my flesh. My flesh will lie to me. My heart will lie to me. My heart will deceive me. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Brother Sutton, there are times when I don't want to forgive, but I gotta let it go anyhow. There are times when I don't want to reach out, but I gotta reach out anyhow. There are times when I don't want to pray, but I got to pray anyhow. There are times when I need to labor, but I've got to labor anyhow. There are people I want to go see, I don't even need to talk to you. Because the heart will deceive me if I'm not careful. The Bible said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is even more deceitful than the devil. Because the Bible declares when Lucifer, the son of the morning, he was an angel in glory. He began to chant in his heart several of his ambitions. I'm going to be like the Most High. I'm going to ascend to his throne. I'll be above the stars of God. I'll be like the Most High. But he said it in his heart. And the Bible said he was cast down and became the devil because of what he said in his heart. Don't you know the devil don't have to mess with you as long as he can get you to believe in your heart? Won't you tell your neighbor, I believe God. No matter what I feel, I believe God. No matter what I think, I believe God. And if God says it, I know his thoughts are higher than my thoughts, and his ways are higher than my ways. Somebody say yeah. You got to get out. And there is a way out. The Bible said he's the door. He's the way. He's the truth. And he's the light. Tell your neighbor, there is a way out. He's made a way for me to escape. I don't have to be bound by unforgiveness. I don't have to be bound by lust in my flesh. I don't have to be bound by an angry spirit. I don't have to be bound by worldly ambitions. I don't have to be bound by hatred and strife. I don't have to be bound by malice and contention. I don't have to be bound in a spirit of rebellion. I don't have to be bound in selfishness and stubbornness. I don't have to be bound. Come on, stand on your feet and praise the name of the Lord. Come on and clap your hands. Oh, yeah. Because I got a way out. There is a way. And you can't go over it. There is a way. And you can't go under it. There is a way. And you can't go around it. You must come in at the door. Tell your neighbor, I can make it, I can make it, I can make it. I can make it, I can make it, I can make it. I can make it. I can make it. I can make it.
In fact, I'm going to do better than that. Just tell somebody, I'm going to make it. By the help of the Lord, I'm going to make it. With a praying church, I'm going to make it. With praying people, I'm going to make it. I want some honest people. I want some honest people who will first have the courage to admit, I know I'm not the only one. There might be many who won't go and get prayer and acknowledge theirs, but I know they've got it. So I'm going to be the first to say, God, I need your help. I need your help. I need strength to make it through. I need help to make it through. I can't do this all by myself. I've got to get my mind on something else. And why don't I begin with getting my mind on the King? Can you lift your hands right now all over the room and get your mind on Jesus? Refocus. Refocus. I've got you on my mind, Jesus. Come on, get the Lord on your mind. Begin thanking Him and praising Him and worshiping Him all over the room. All over the room. Begin concentrating on Him. Can you see the glory of God? In your mind's eye, can't you see the loving King reaching for you? Can't you hear His word speaking to you? I love you. 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 That's what God is saying to you. No matter what sin you've been tempted by, no matter what sin you've fallen into, I love you. And it's not my will that any would perish, God says, but all would come to repentance. To repentance. That means turning away. Refocusing. And He says to refocus your relationships. In other words, you need to be able to find a place to pray. I want you right now to step out from where you are and make your way to this altar and say, I need prayer. I just need God to touch my life. I need God to touch my heart. Oh, yes, I do. I need help. I need help. I need help. I need help. Oh, yes. I need help. I need help. Yes. Come on. Come on. Come on. Everywhere at this altar, every voice lifted. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am, standing in the need of prayer. Standing in the need of prayer. I can't do it by myself. I can't make it on my own. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. And the Bible says, submit unto the Lord and resist the devil. Submit unto the Lord. While you're at this altar and your hands are raised and your voices are raised, can you begin to say to the Lord, I'm yours. Whatever you want to do with me, I'm yours. Whatever change you want to make in my life, I'm yours. Whatever direction you want me to go, I'm yours. Whatever you want to do in me, I'm yours. Whatever you want me to stop doing, wherever you want me to stop going, however you want me to stop acting, whatever you want me to start doing, I'm yours. I submit myself to you. I put myself in your hands. I lift up my voice to you. Say yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. submit unto the Lord. Put on the helmet of salvation. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And you've got to remember. You've got to remember your nature. A nature of sin. When you come to this altar, you acknowledge it. Lord, I was born in sin. Like all men, I was born in sin. I was born a sinner. I cannot be righteous on my own. I cannot be righteous in my own self. I can only be made righteous by the blood of Jesus. I can only be made righteous by the cross. I can only be made righteous in the name of the Lord. I need Jesus. Right now, I want you to begin to repent. Ask the Lord to forgive you all over the room. Forgive me, Lord. 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 Forgive me of my sin nature. Forgive me of all the times I rejected your love. For all of the times I rejected your truth. For all of the time I rejected your presence in my life. For all of the times I turned my back on your will. For all of the times I said no to your commands. For all of the times I refused you in my life. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me of my unforgiveness. Forgive me of my rebellion. Forgive me for my sinful thoughts. Forgive me for my sinful ways. Forgive me. Forgive me. If you're here today, you've never been baptized in Jesus' name. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Don't leave out of this room until God has done everything in your life that He wants to do. Yes. 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 That's right. That's right. Yeah. It's what I do. Oh. Lift your hands and praise Him. Praise is what.
Praise is what I do.
Praise is what I do. What I do. What I do. Oh, yeah.
It's what I do.
What I do. Hey, hey, hey. What I do, what I do. Oh, yeah. Oh, oh. It's what I do.
It's what I do.
Lift your hands all over the room and praise Him, yes. Submit your praise to the Lord. Praise.
Praise is what I do.
do. What I do. See the Holy Ghost. Yeah. What I do is what I do. Hey, hey, hey.
Is what I do.
What I do. Come on, lift your voices all over the room. And praise is what I do.
Praise is what I do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Is what I do. Come on and praise Him right now. Won't you clap your hands and lift your voices and give God the praise?
Praise
is what I do. It's what I do.
It's what I do.
What I do. Praise is what I do. Can you lift your voice and praise Him? Can you lift your voice and praise Him? And say, praise is what I do. What I do. What I do. Praise is what I do. What I do.